Late Lunch, LMFM Radio, on your smart speaker, online, and on the radio. Yes, on the radio today and every day. Why do I emphasise that? Well, Louise, I came in, didn't I, the other day with this tiny little radio. It fits in the palm of my hand. Now, I have small hands and it fits in the palm of my hand. And if you've been keeping an eye of us, an eye on us on social media, you will have seen my little radio. It's there since
probably
yesterday.
Probably fit into a doll's house.
Yeah, it probably would. Small, yeah. It probably would. You see, I'm a divil for these things. When I was in Rome last week, I went into this shop. It was a real gadgety shop. Actually, Mary went into it first and then she said, you have to see this place. You love it. You love it. You and your gadgets, you know. And I went in and I spotted this tiny little radio. And bing, the light lit in my head. I said, I'm going to have that. And it actually works. You've heard it, doesn't it?
Very clear.
Yeah, it's there's a little scan button on it and it scans and it picks up LMFM radio loud and clear and other stations as well. But it's a nifty little thing, isn't it? It is a nifty little thing. It really is. And it's in the style of an old radio, a little mini old radio. So that got me thinking really about, you know, what we do here and on the radio station, and you listen to us out there in various ways. And I know today smart speakers are the thing, and you know, listening online, as I mentioned, in your car, lots of people listen to their car radios as well. But me and Louise were just chatting about this and wondering, the traditional radio, the traditional bog standard radio, you know, are there many people still listening to us on the standard radio? And we'd like you to do something for us today. And they're coming in, aren't they?
Already, since you've been listening to us.
Yeah, you've been listening to me, yeah, telling you what's coming up in the show today. People are WhatsApping us in a picture of the radio you're listening to us on. So would you do that for me? If you're listening to us on your radio today, just take a snap of it and WhatsApp it in to 086 1800 658. That's 086 1800 658. And guess what? The boss, Eamon, said, well, you know what? For all the ones that come in today and send you in a picture of the radio, I want to give one of them a radio.
Oh, he's in good humour.
Yeah, he's in great humour. We've a radio to give away to one. Now, I know you love the radio you're listening to us on, but it's a nice little prize, isn't it, today, if you like a radio? So all you have to do is take a picture of your radio that you're listening to us on, send it in to me now, 086 1800 658, and you're in the mix. We'll pick somebody for the radio prize from Eamon before the end of the show. And already Patricia's been on. See that lovely little radio Patricia sent in there, even before we started? It's an Orbic radio.
It's tiny.
It's tiny, isn't it? Small as well. Not as small as my own. And if you have a small one or whatever, send us a picture of it too. We'd love to see those ones. Mary Grimes has been on. Hello, Mary. Very snazzy radio with
love
a CD built into that as well. The other thing I was thinking, do you think there are any radios still with tape decks? Do you remember them? Do you remember a tape deck and a radio combined?
Oh yeah, like a Ghetto Blaster.
Well, yeah.
Kind of.
I remember a little radio that there was a tape deck in and the radio was small as well. But there are, I know there are Ghetto Blasters and things like that for sure. Do you remember your first radio, going back to your home days, living at home? But sure, she was nearly there, never nearly there to hear it. Were you? Did you ever?
I remember.
Do you remember a radio at home? Seriously?
Yeah, I remember there was a garage in our house and the front of the garage used to be always open.
Yeah.
And we'd be flying around the house on our bikes.
Yes.
And my dad, God rest him, had this really old, like, I mean, it was huge, big brown radio.
Yes.
And it was sitting on a barrel, like an old water barrel in the corner of the garage. And it was plugged in. And it was big yoke, I think, when he got rid of it. But it was like FM. No, was it even
AM,
FM?
AM.
AM and MW.
Medium wave.
And long wave. That was all.
That's
no
all.
FM.
Oh, no FM, not at all.
And all we could get was Atlantic 252. And did we get, was there another one in Luxembourg? Was that Luxembourg?
Or
somewhere like that.
Yes.
There were the only two stations, I think.
There you go.
And now we'd be flying around the house. And I don't know what happened to that radio.
See the way you remember that now. And I remember Air Force radio, like yours, like your dad's. It was a big brown radio,
big
you
yoke,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sort of a clawed face on it. And I do remember what you say, AM, long wave.
Yeah, and MW.
And medium wave.
Yeah, yeah.
And you turn the little knob and it...
And you had to turn it very slowly. Because if you missed, you could miss it
You could miss the station very, very easily.
Yeah.
That was our first one. And I think at times they even had to warm up before you'd get the sound on. And we'd Radio 1, you know, Micheál O'Hare for the football and things like that. And Radio 1, you know, was the only thing you had. There was no such thing as pirate radio or anything at that stage. But that was our first one as well. But I'm just curious. The messages are
flying.
Just
in.
Look at the look. You're great. We love you. Honestly, we love you. Look at all the images of radios that are coming in. One, I joke you not, they're streaming into us here, and I'll try to read out as many of them as I can.
I love one in particular. I laughed.
Go on.
Now, where is he gone now? He was one at the start.
Oh, they're flying there. I wish you well to keep up with them. Go on. Can you find it? Who are you going to talk about?
Sean.
Yeah, go
Sean
on.
Sean and Dundalk.
Go on. Yeah, what does he
Did
say?
You see, it looks like a little mushroom.
Does it?
Yeah, and when you zone into it, I think he has it balanced on the top of a bottle of wine. Did you see that? Sean McCardle.
Where is he? Way down. Is he way down?
He's about one of the first four that came in, I'd say.
Trying to get down. Sure, it's happening here. I can't stop that bloody thing. Yeah. And it happened with messages.
It's like a little tiny one with eyes. Well, it looks like eyes. They're probably buttons. And it has this big...
Hold on,
blue
I think I have
top.
Him.
Oh,
I see
and
him.
He's on top of
I see
of
him. I see him, Sean. I see you.
I
little,
love it.
It's a. It is like
it's
a mushroom. It's like a mushroom. Yes,
and
it really is.
And it's sitting on
is.
The top of a bottle of wine.
He says it's smaller than mine, Sean. Don't be boasting, Sean. No, don't be boasting that smaller than mine. None of that. And keep it clean. Keep it country on Friday afternoon. Anyway, we have keep them coming to us. Take a photo of the radio you're listening to us on today on Late Lunch, please. And WhatsApp it in to 086 1800 658. Do you see another one that's after taking your breath away
yeah,
there?
I don't know who it's from. It just looks really, really, really old.
Does it?
But it could be a retro one. You know the way you can buy retro ones these days?
You can get
it's
the retro.
It's a cream-coloured one with just the big massive dial on it.
All right. Look at Nuala. Nuala Tallon on Chapel Road in Clotterhead. Hi, Nuala, with our little Sony FM AM. A lovely little one there. Yvonne, yes, would love a smaller radio, Jerry. Well, you're in the mix, Yvonne. You never know at this stage. Thanks for sending in. Here's me mam's old radio listening to you on. Comes in there from Kathleen Black. Great listener in Forest Grange and Drogheda. Her mam's radio. Look at that one with the two smileys each side of it. It's a Bush radio. I don't know who that came in from there, but it looks like an old radio too. John O'Connor, Boer Brewer in Drogheda. John listens to us regular. Look at his. I love it, John. I love it there. Jerry Reynolds in Mullinstown, Ardy. Oh, look at that one from Jerry Reynolds. Oh, real snazzy machine there. Dark with a dial on the front of it. What about that one there? My granddad used to fix radios and TVs. When we were tidying out the house, I took this. It sits with pride in my house. Look at that. That is a genuine old radio there. What's your name? Niamh. Ah, comes in from Niamh today. There's loads of them.
Did you see the one just there from Anne and Kells? The WD-40 with the aerial coming out of it?
No.
Yeah, Anne from Kells, if you look down, it's a good bit down. And it's actually a WD-40 can and there's an aerial out of it. And she said it's for when the ESB goes.
Oh my God almighty. Look at this. Brilliant. There's somebody in their greenhouse planting seeds, listening to the both of you today. And that comes in from Annette this afternoon. Hi Annette, lovely to hear from you. Seeing this radio in Briscoe's on Sunday with a tape in it. In Briscoe's. That's in Briscoe's today. Let's talk to our guest. He's waiting patiently by. Andrew Morris is in sales with Dominic Smith, expert electrical in Navan. And he's had to wait patiently while we natter on. Andrew, welcome to the show.
How are you, Jerry? How are you getting on?
Oh, we're getting on really good. I had a look at the range of radios that you guys are selling, and you have quite an extensive range. And this is what I want to ask you. There's obviously demand for them still, is there?
Absolutely. I don't think it'll... from my experience anyway, I don't think it'll ever slow down.
Really?
There's a broad range from even just, as you say, your bog standard radio right up until the internet radios. There seems to be a place for all of them.
And, you know, in the era of the smart speaker, you'd say radio, the sales of radios is holding its own, yeah?
Yeah, because, look, smart speakers, absolutely, they are brilliant. Like, as you can see, like, there's multi-functions on it. Like, you can ask it to do 100 different things. But it doesn't. Sometimes it's all about the way it looks in a kitchen or the way it looks in a house. And, like, with radios, as you can say, you get your retro radio or your old-style radio, and it look far better than a smart speaker in a home.
Yeah, so people are in with you guys looking for them, and sales are brisk, which is great to hear. I had a look. Roberts is a great name in radio, and you have quite a range of Roberts, from the internet radio to the DAB FM Bluetooth model to the Revival model, the portable. They're snazzy-looking machines, aren't they, the Roberts?
Yeah, and they sound brilliant as well. Like, Roberts has been doing in the game, like, long, long time. I think they're the oldest brand in the UK that are still going. Like, they're fantastic products.
Yeah, and I think it's a lovely gift to give, Andrew. You know what I mean? It's a bit different to give somebody a nice radio, you know, like the Roberts.
Yeah, and this is it. Like, those retro ones that Roberts do, they can be to do an internet radio as well. Yeah. So it's not as if you're buying a retro one. It still has all the capabilities that you need in a modern radio. They're fantastic.
I saw a mini Roberts you have there, a little one, a smaller one than the standard, if you like to say, size. It's really cute as well. Do you know the one I'm talking about, yeah?
I think so. I think they're rechargeable as well, so you can bring them on the go and plug them back in. They take the same cable nearly as most phones.
Terrific. And one you have there, I saw, it's a Sony AM/FM, and you would say it's a basic radio, but it obviously sells too. You guys have it there.
Yeah.
It reminds me of radios going back some number of years. It's just plain and simple bog standard radio.
Yeah, they fly out. That's insane. You'd think it would be with an age where there is like the radio on your phone nearly. But no, they fly out. I have to say, they're big sellers.
Yeah, and you see so many people still, it's a tradition in homes, the radio plays away in the background or in a shop or wherever you are. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's still a thing, isn't it, in Ireland?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're whatever you're doing around the kitchen, around the house, you always have to have something in the background.
Yeah, and there's a little one I have to mention, the Roberts Sports. There's a little portable one you could stick in your pocket and take it with you anywhere, couldn't you? And you're saying, like, obviously there are people buy them because you could have it on your phone, as you said, but that's a lovely little machine, isn't it?
Yeah, like, just as I say, it fits into the pocket, plug your earphones in or whatever you want, and away you go.
And people buying them, can I ask you this, age profile wise, is it of an age that people come looking for the radios, or would you say it's a broad spectrum of ages buying them?
It depends on the radio. Like, I have to say, yeah, if it's a more standard radio you're looking at, maybe an older generation.
Yep.
And then, yeah, once you go up then to your internet radios, you could have anyone in looking for them. Because internet radios, then you can connect your Spotify to them or your Apple Music or your Bluetooth as well. So they have a broad range of capabilities, and they look better than just a standard speaker sitting in the kitchen. So there's any age coming in buying radios these days. It just depends on what the radio offers.
Mm. Oh, it's great to see it. I never realised until I started tricking around with this. I got this little tiny radio when I was in Rome last week, as you heard me say there, and it just when I saw it, it caught my eye, and I said, I have to have it. There was only a few euro to buy, but it does pick up all the stations, including yours, truly, LMFM for sure, loud and clear. But it got me thinking then to see, I just wonder, are radios still a feature of sales in our electrical shops back home? And you are confirming today that they are. And you have the full range there available in Dominic Smith.
Full range available, absolutely. Anything that you see on our website, or anything that's nearly available in the country, we can probably get for you. Like, if you want it badly enough, there's no problem there.
Isn't it great to hear that video hasn't killed the radio star yet? Long may that be the case. Anyway, listen, it's lovely to talk to you today. Thanks for taking a few minutes. I know you're busy there. And check them out. Dominic Smith, Expert Electrical in Navan. They look after you for all your radio needs. Thanks a million, Andrew.
No problem, Jerry. Thanks.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Look, we're going to go to more of your messages here and have a look at them. There is Bronis Somerville in Duleague. Thank you, Brona, for sending us in that picture of your lovely radio. It looks really cool in black there. Let me go on up here. Look at that one there. Do you see that one there? Like, see, myself and Louise are in different studios, and I'm trying to tell her and she's trying to tell me. That is an old radio, a white radio. I can't see. Let me see. Can I see the... It's steeple phone or something. There's a white dial on it, Louise. You know, a radio with a dial on it. That's an old radio
all the
there.
Pictures here.
Now going back, and we're hopping along them as well.
I think I see it. Yeah.
You see Paul
beside the Yankee candle?
Yes. Yeah. Do you see Paul Shields in Duleague? Do you see Paul's picture of his radio just above it there? We're going up them along that way there. Paul's is a lovely radio. He says, I'm in work today, Jerry, listening to you on this radio here. Tina O'Callaghan. Look at Tina O'Callaghan's. A cream-coloured radio. Cream-coloured Bush radio. Now, there's a brand going back, isn't it? That's going back in time. This is what I listen to you on every day from Orla Mead, Creve Across, RD, County Mead. RD, County Mead, there you are. Yeah, the border runs there for sure. Hi, Jerry. This is what I listen to you on every day. It was a Christmas present from my mother in 1978.
Ah.
And it still works perfectly. Isn't that lovely there? Radio in the truck, you keeping me company every day. That's from Jerome O'Brien in Termonfagan. Hi, Jerome. Great to hear from you. What's that one there, Louise? Makita. Did you see that one? A Makita radio. Interesting. Never saw that one before. I don't know who that came in from there. There's no name on that one there. Listening in on my husband's old radio alarm clock. It's the only...
I love those.
Do you see that?
I never knew anybody used radio alarm clocks anymore.
Alison in Drogheda has one. And she says, it's the only radio in the house. Do you see that there? Mm-hmm. The way that came in. Oh, there's an absolute beaut. Oh, Michelle in Whitestown. Look at that machine there. Oh, that is a classy looking machine. Lovely timber frame to it there.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
See that one? Do you like that one?
Yeah.
Imelda Fogarty, Hillcrest, Abbey Lansnavin. Look at Imelda's radio. Look at that one. Can I see the name of it there? Hold on. I tried to drill in. Sandstream. It's a Sandstream radio that she has there. God, look at all the different models. Mm. There's another one there from Martin in Dunshaughlin. Says it's the one and only for me, Radio On. Susan in Screen. This one's about 30 to 40 years old, but still working. It's perfectly, Jerry. Isn't that a lovely radio there? Let me see another one. This is the kitchen radio, says Mairead Gorman in Donore, County Meath. And Jerry, it's never moved off LMFM. Mairead, you're our kind of woman for sure. That little one there, what is that one there? It's a Roberts. Oh, yeah, small little Roberts in there from somebody else. Jerry, yeah, I mentioned Jerry before. John O'Connor, but we had John on before. Yes, we'll go back. There's loads of them. They're just flying into us.
The tiny little one that kind of looks like a, I don't know what it looks like, from James in Kilmainham Wood.
Is it nice? You'll have to show me that one in a minute.
It's so small.
Tiny, is it?
It looks like one of the Daleks.
It's as small as my little one. I probably slightly bigger. There's one from Sinead O'Brien listening to LMFM on my old Sony clock radio, she says there. That's an interesting one. So it is. Where are we here? There's another one. Oh, look, there's that many of them coming in. Keep them coming. We're looking for pictures of your radios on Late Lunch this afternoon, and we're giving away a radio on the show. You're so good. You're so kind.
I love the battery ones. Yes. They're all saying, in case I have a power outage, they still get the radio. Yeah, that's cool.
That's really clever and really important as well. Always have a few batteries in store as well to keep your radio on the go. Louise, you were right. James in Kilmainham Wood. That is the coolest little radio, isn't it? How would you describe the shape of it?
I thought it looked kind of like either, because it looks like a little tongue. So it looks like a little puppy with its head cocked to one side, crossed with the Dalek, crossed with the teabag holder.
Yeah, it's hard to describe it. Paul Callan, hi Paul, in my ear as I work away. Great to hear it, Paul. I broke my ankle and it's very hard, says Sonia Heaney in At Boys Day. Sonia, sorry to hear that. I hope you're better soon. Two radios sent in there from Len Hattrick in Loud Village. One, I think, is in the car, is it?
It's a cool one.
It's a cool one. And then you see the little one on the shelf he has there. Absolutely lovely. I really do love it. Children got this one a few years ago from the Kellogg's Cornflakes. It's going good every day. Love your show. That's from Mary Kate in Carrickmacross. Do you see that?
Yeah, it's
the
brilliant.
Cornflakes. What is it? Is it a cock-a-doodle-doo on the front of the Cornflakes box? And that's the radio.
I wonder if it has an alarm and a cock-a-doodle-doos.
Mary Kate, we love it. We love your radio. We really do. Anne from Kells, look at that one there. Can't make out the name. It's an old radio she has there, but it works. She has a new one for us there as well. Bernie Kinsless has sent us in our radio. Barbara in County Meath has a Bush variety there. There's another one. See that one? This is my mam's radio.
Oh, wow.
From Anne in Navan. Isn't that lovely? Mm. With the timber finish on the front of it.
And is it a car radio that's inserted into a specially designed
It could be.
Finish?
You could have something there. You could have something. Olive Callan in Carlingford. Look at that. Olive is having a
Jukebox.
Disco. She's having a disco listening to us today. Hi, Olive. And the person with the little tiny radio says, they've come back to us and said, I listen regularly when out walking. I got it from one of my children. It was with a Lynx set. You know the Lynx deodorant sprays? That's where that little radio came from.
Wow.
That little cool
radio.
Wouldn't
get it now.
Oh, my God. That's it. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
And it smells nice too.
Oh, as well. Susan in Tully Allen, thank you for sending in your image. Ghetto Blaster there from Derek in Dundalk, looking in good shape too. It's great. It's great to understand that so many people are listening on the radio. Love my jukebox radio, says Paula in Drogheda. Look at that one.
It's really nice.
iTech. Oh, that is cool indeed.
It's a very white silvery finish. That's
yeah,
very bright.
And back to us, Derek says that Ghetto Blaster is almost 35 years old. So we just had to play this one on the way to two. Tara Walker's with us after two. Let's sing along with this one. We will anyway in LMFM because it hasn't happened yet and please God, it never will. They will never kill the radio star. And whatever way you're listening to us this afternoon on Late Lunch.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
You're with Late Lunch on LMFM Radio this Friday afternoon. Eddie Joyce, my good friend, sent me in a snap there of his radio. And he is a great radio listener. He sent me in actually two of them. But he says, I think I got the Philips radio for my 21st. And that isn't today or yesterday, I have to say. Sean Black and Drogheda, thank you for your lovely image of the Sony radio. I love it for sure. Declan Kane from Loud Village has been on with his particular radio. Lovely indeed. Indeed. Sorry, Jerry, I forgot, but that's a very important radio. It's my dad's. He passed away in 1976. I remember Tony Duffy from Dunlea delivering it in the very early 60s. Unfortunately, you can't get LMFM on it. That comes in from Len again to us. Another one there from Dundalk, from Helen Nesbitt. Hello, Helen. Love your radio. Great you're listening. And so on they go. Now, our usual Friday competition. Let's have a listen now. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. Can you identify this children's TV theme? Here we go.
Great! I love TV.
We watch TV.
TV themes.
TV themes with Jerry Kelly on The Late Lunch.
Remember that TV movie we saw?
TV.
You know that one, a TV theme from a children's show. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. And we have our usual Friday prize to send out to one of you. One of our regulars is standing by to have a chat with me. I'm normally in the kitchen with her, but we're at a distance today. But we're always close together when we're chatting. Tara Walker, welcome back to Late Lunch.
Hi, Jerry.
Thank you for joining me again. And the reason you're joining me today, you and I and Louise all separately saw this story during the week about kitchen myths, things that have been said and continue to be said that are supposed to be the laws or the rules of the kitchen. And I was so interested to hear your view on them. So let's dig straight in. Never use soap to wash a cast iron pan. Yes or no, Tara Walker?
I agree with the article on this one. I think, you know, if you do need to use soap sometimes, I think never is not really realistic. But I do think that seasoning is really important. So that's where you know, it doesn't actually say it in the article, but for me, you're popping rough, coarse sea salt onto your pan and heating it up really thoroughly. then using a kitchen piece of kitchen towel or something to scrape away those last bits. So any little bits of, you know, like those kind of carbonized charred bits that might be sticking to your pan.
Yeah.
And then popping some oil on it, rubbing oil around on it. I think we actually did that on the show once a few years ago, and letting it sit then. So that is the way to do it. But of course you need to wash it. You know, if you've been braising a stew or something, you're going to need to use a little bit of washing up liquid to get it washed in the first place. Mm. Yes.
And Tara, just on a wider sense, I wanted to always ask you this, the cast iron pan or say a wok or anything like that, are you on for putting them into dishwashers?
No.
Never
put good pots, never put good pots or pans or knives into a dishwasher. Like I would, there's something that would be a huge bugbear of mine. You know, if you've guests staying and I open the dishwasher, I see my knife in it, I have to take it out immediately. And the same with your pots and pans, because they have a coating on them that gets taken off. Because, you know, dishwashers are brilliant. They're really, really powerful wash, but then it takes the coating off. So definitely not.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that.
Just to put a caveat on it, Jerry. Sorry, a stainless steel pan. Yes, put a stainless steel one in. Yeah, but any of your nonstick or your cast iron, no.
Okay, now let's talk about pasta. And you have created many wonderful pasta dishes for us over the years. You always hear this, that you should lace the cooking water with plenty of salt and make it as salty as the ocean when you're cooking pasta. Yes or no, Tara Walker?
Yeah, I don't make it as salty as the ocean, but I definitely put a tablespoon of salt in when I'm cooking. And I use arboreal sea salt from Clare Head, which is very salty salt, if you see what I mean. So a little goes a long way with it. But I don't think you need to have it as salty as the ocean, as they say. No, but you do need it. I do agree with the article in the sense that you need some salt in there to help with the flavour get into the pasta.
Now, on to rice. Always wash your rice until the water runs clear before cooking. What's the Tara Walker way?
No. So it really just depends on what rice you're using and what result you want from it. So I'm sure we've done it on the show over the years. I do a sticky basmati rice for my sort of Asian cooking, where you want it clumping together, so you want to keep the starch in there. I rarely wash my rice. You know, long grain rice or basmati rice or, you know, any of the longer grain ones like jasmine rice, any of those, sometimes you want to keep the starch on them because you want it to sort of clump together, and especially with those Asian, you know, like a Thai green curry where the coconut milk-based sauce is quite loose. You want something to kind of hold the sauce, if you see what I mean. But then with other rices, you want all of the grains very separate. In that case, then you want to rinse it. But then if you go to a risotto, you want to keep those starches in there to create that nice, for short grain rice, you know, create that nice bit of creamy sauce that you get in a risotto. So it's definitely not an umbrella rule for everything. It really depends on what you're making with your rice.
While we're on this theme, come back to mushrooms, would you? And this whole thing. I'm nearly sure I've never seen you wash them. You get some soft tissue or whatever and you give them a wipe. Are you against washing mushrooms in any circumstance?
I am, yes, I am. Because I think the article, do I remember this correctly? Does the article say you can kind of just wash them for a second before you...
Yes, yes, yes.
Before you cook them. Yeah, I still think that they will absorb liquid. Now, look, if you have a really dirty mushroom, I just think you're better off. I usually peel the mushroom if it's really dirty and, you know, you don't want to eat that bit. Just peel it with a little paring knife. It's very quick to do. They're soft and you don't end up... The whole thing is, if you put mushrooms into something and you're trying to create good flavour, the water inside the mushroom is going to dilute your sauce.
Mm.
And then the mushroom is going to lose that nice texture that is why you love a mushroom, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. And I actually see that with my curry when I'm making it. I usually add them last and give them the briefest period because they will dilute it and they will make it more loose, the curry sauce, because they're full of liquid anyway. So, you know, that is so true. Now, they were talking about, you know, having your ingredients prepped, and of course, Tara Walker is always prepped when I arrive for sure. But the other aspect of that is, they say, your cooking oil should be heated before starting to cook. Always hot oil, Tara.
Yeah, well, it depends on what you're cooking again. So as you know, when I'm, you know, searing off, whether it's fish or meat or whatever, chicken, I always prefer to put the oil onto the actual protein so that the pan is dry. So in that case, obviously the oil is cold, but it's going onto a hot pan. But if you're trying to, you know, sweat off onions, garlic, you know, sofrito or whatever, you need to have the oil, you know, hot, not super, super hot for that, though, because it'll burn, obviously, and you'll get those kind of black bits around the edges of your onions. But the whole thing of having everything chopped and ready in front of you, I think, is just a matter of, okay, for a stir fry, you need it because you need everything moving along fast. But, like, you know, I think that's a matter of preference. I personally will always, let's just say a really basic thing, a bolognese. I will chop my onions, get them into the pan, because they need at least 10 minutes in the pan. So you can be then going off and spending time doing other things, start chopping your mushrooms, your garlic, whatever it is, while the onions are cooking. My husband, on the other hand, you know, is he likes to have, he calls it the Blue Peter way of cooking. So he has everything chopped and out in front of him before he starts cooking, because he likes to be able to just keep an eye on the pot and stand over the pot when he's cooking, whereas I'm kind of used to moving around. So it really is a matter of personal preference on that one, I think.
There you are. I'll always think of Rob and Blue Peter in the same vein again after you mentioned it there. Always brown your meat at the beginning of the cooking process. In other words, seal it. Yes?
Yes, yes. So, yeah, this was where I actually, would you believe, I read this article, I think it was on Wednesday, and I woke up on Thursday morning irritated by the article because of this point. So I obviously don't agree. So in the article, they're saying that you don't need to do it and that it doesn't sear in the juices and doesn't keep it moist. I disagree with that. If you've ever tried to brown off meat on too low a temperature, which I'm sure has happened to everybody at some point, you know, you're just a bit impatient, you put it in, or you put too much in at the one time, you'll see all the liquid starting to just, you're almost stewing it in its own juices. You'll see the liquid start to seep out of the meat. And, you know, that's why you do it on a high temperature, to keep the juices sealed in. Now, I know in the article, they're also saying that it's not the only way to keep the meat moist. So, of course, you can poach chicken or fish or whatever, and you don't need to brown it off first. But if you are browning it off, you need to make sure you're doing it properly. And I believe that if you're doing some kind of a stew or, you know, a braise, something that's going to be low and slow, you just get so much more flavour from the lovely caramelised bits in the pan. So why not do it?
Absolutely. Two more things just quickly before we finish up. Are you into warming plates before you serve your dinner up? I'm a stickler for this.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't like them too hot, obviously. So I tend to just, if the oven's on, pop them in just for a moment or two in the oven. I think, I know a lot of people like to eat their food really, really hot. My late father-in-law used to say, if I'd have wanted a salad, I'd have ordered it, and he'd always be putting his dinner into the microwave. Whereas I feel, personally, you can't taste your food that well if it's too, too hot. It needs to be hot, but not, you know, like 75 or 80 degrees is sufficient. You don't need it, you know, 100 degrees. So I think it's nice to have a warmed plate that doesn't cool the food, but at the same time, you don't need a really hot plate where something starts bubbling when it goes onto the plate.
And the final one, from fridge to room temperature, if you're roasting a chicken or a joint of meat or that, take it out, let it come to room temperature for a while before going in the oven, yes or no?
I would say yes. Yeah. But look, I mean, I'm not a total stickler for it. If I was out for a walk on a Sunday and I want, by the time the oven has reached temperature, that'll be when I put my piece of beef or chicken or lamb or whatever in. Do you know what I mean? So you can, if you have the time to do it, happy days. I suppose the thing is just not to have it super, super cold. You know, some fridges are very cold, and if you've had it in the fridge for a day at the back of the fridge where it's super cold, it's going to be very cold and therefore a little bit harder to get up to temperature right at the center. That's where that kind of the thought process is for. But I think, you know, even if you've just taken it out for 10 or 15 minutes beforehand as you wait for your oven, I think that's sufficient.
Tara, you're great. That article appeared in the New York Times this week, and Tara Walker giving us her brilliant take on what she feels about what's hot or not. See you soon.
Thanks, Jerry. Good to talk to you. See you soon.
Take care. Bye. Wonderful Tara Walker there. Check her out, tarawalker.ie. That's tarawalker.ie. All the information there and classes, etc. Killani listener, I love your Roberts Radio. Thank you so much for sending us in the picture today. No name, I just know you're in Killani. Maureen, I adore your husband's uncle's radio. That is a real old radio going back and back. Reminds me of the one that we had in our home when I was a young lad growing up as well. Now, we got So many messages. I mean, we've been inundated. Thank you so much. You're so kind. You're so good to us. Honestly, hard to choose of who to talk to about radio, but one in particular has caught our attention of all. And Niamh Kelly is on the line to tell us about it. Afternoon, Niamh.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
I'm really, really good. Well, when we saw this image of the radio you sent in, we realised that this also is going back a long, long time. Tell our listeners, whose radio was this?
So this belonged to my granddad, Danny O'Hare in Navan. He had his hobby was, when he was a young boy, was to fix radios, and he went to Burke and Locks in Navan and worked there. And he learned up all the training manuals and the courses to do this. So he was well known around the area and in County Meath as the man who fixed televisions.
So he moved from radio to television. He was a man that if the tube went in the telly, you went to Danny, did you?
Exactly. So I believe.
Oh, I remember the times myself. But he taught himself about radios and repairing radios and all that type of thing. This radio here, that goes back, doesn't it? That's a real old radio you've sent us in the picture of.
Well, no, I was talking to my mum and she said it reckons that about maybe 60 or 70 years old.
Is it? I'm not one bit surprised. Does it work still?
No, that's why I had to... I should have said it doesn't work, but okay. I just sent the picture in for the laugh.
Yeah. No, listen, it's lovely to see it because it is outstanding when you look at it and you know that it has age on its side. Oh, you'll have to find another Danny today to go at that and try and get it working again in some shape or form. I'm sure there's somebody would, you know, take a look at it for you. I hope you do that someday. But how long has Danny passed? How many years has he gone?
God, he must be, he's over, I'd say, 30 years
is
now.
Is he? Yeah.
Well over 30, yeah. And I was only a little girl.
Were you? Yeah, at the time. And he absolutely loved radio, I tell you. He had to, sure. It was his passion.
Oh, he had a great pair of hands and he'd put his hands to anything to fix it. And even I remember in latter years, since he passed away, like the Nana's front room was like where he did all his little bits, and he had everything labelled and he knew everything. And it was just, I know myself and my sister, we used to love going into the room just to look at all the little bits. And then when Nana and Grandad passed away, then there was the house's radios, and I put my eye on that one, and it's just right in my kitchen. So every time I look up, I see it and I think of my Grand O'Hare.
Oh, Lord Almighty, you're pulling the heartstrings today for sure, Niamh, with that. Isn't that beautiful that you remember by looking at the radio? And I'm looking at it close here. I've just zoomed in on the picture and it is very similar. We had one similar. It wouldn't be the same now at all as that. But, you know, the little knobs on the front to move the little red band along, you know, slowly, for as Louise was saying earlier on, to pick up the various stations. You could only move it very gingerly till you'd tune into a station and you'd get it as loud and clear as you could and have it then set. And ours was mostly an RT Radio 1, which was Hobson's choice back in the day. It's beautiful. It really is beautiful. I think, Niamh, honestly, I think someday, or you get somebody to... Now, I know you value it and you wouldn't like anything to happen to it, but wouldn't it be great to get it back working, even if it tuned in on one station for you?
Maybe LMFM. That
would be great. 95.8. You said all the right things. You said the right things, young one. You really did. That you could just get it to drop on 95.8 for sure. LMFM radio. That's the one we wanted on always for sure. And that would be certainly the icing on the cake. Oh, it's lovely. It really is lovely, lovely, lovely. You listen to radio. You are a radio listener yourself, aren't you? You listen a lot.
I am, yeah. And it's only since... since COVID, like I had two babies like during COVID and I would now be working, so I'd never have the radio on. But now I'd be lost without the radio. It just keeps me going.
Ah, that's great to hear. It really is. And, you know, that is the truest thing you ever said. COVID brought a huge revival in radio listenership and to new audiences and younger audiences as well. And thank God, like yourself, you're a young woman, it stayed with you as well and you've stayed tuned in and stayed listening, which is fantastic to hear. And I know you're a big LMFM fan, isn't that right? It is.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, it's great to talk to you, Niamh, this afternoon. And I want to remember Danny O'Hare today and all the years he spent fixing and repairing and loving radios. And then, of course, as you said, moved on to the TV game then as well. I'm sure he's remembered fondly even today by many people listening to us this afternoon on Late Lunch. Thank you so much for sending in this picture.
Okay, thanks so much, Jerry.
Take care of yourself. Bye. That's Niamh Kelly speaking to us this afternoon, talking about the late Danny O'Hare from Navan. And we have a picture of his lovely radio here. If you care to send us in a snap of the radio you're listening to us on today, there's still plenty of time. Somebody's going to win a radio. Eamon, the boss, has given us a radio to give away to one of you this afternoon. There's a radio up for grabs. Send us in a picture of yours that you're listening to us on today. And mentioning this day, I have to say that 70 years ago, on this day, for the very first time, the world heard this.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on, join me home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock.
Seventy years ago today, Mr. Bill Haley recorded that song and the world heard it for the first time. Can you only imagine what impact that had at the time and the impact that song has had ever since? Amazing, Louise, when you think of it. You know, when you think of the change that it brought to the world, you know, of music at the time.
And just see how they danced.
Yeah.
It was really lively, really vibrant.
Oh, my God almighty.
Now we just, as my father used to say, we just jump around.
Yeah, well, they could dance. But that, they, you know, it's fair to say that that song was a definitive number at the time when you think about it. And mentioning 70 years, I want to wish Rathkenny Revels all the very best. They're celebrating 60 years this year. Wow. And their shows are on this weekend. They're great people and the tradition has been continued out there. And I remember interviewing them on their 50th year as well. 60 years this year, another 10 years has gone by. And we wish everybody associated with Rathkenny Revels all the very best on their 60th birthday celebrations with their big shows this very weekend. Shane Sweeney's been on listening to us on the radio. We could see LMFM on the dial there. Thank you very much, Shane, indeed, for getting in touch with us on the show. Louise, I'm a bit bleary-eyed today. I was up watching the golf till well after midnight last night. The Masters golf. Tiger Woods! Oh, Tiger, my hero. He's back, Lane. He's not doing bad. Not doing too bad either. Anyway, I'll be bleary-eyed for the next 3 nights. Tonight, tomorrow night and Sunday night.
Oh, it's on till late
Sunday. Yeah, it's on till Sunday, till the early hours. Anyway, it's great. The first major of the season. It's like spring is here with the Masters golf. They're all there, all the golfers. There's been a split in golf, as you know, but all the best golfers are playing
there. Where's it being played?
It's always played in Augusta. It's the one major that's played at the same course. So it is. Augusta is where it's happening and it's just magnificent there at this time of the year. Anyways, up next on the show, she's returning to have a chat with me, Dundalk author Susan McGovern, in the house next. Delighted to see my next guest again. It's been a few years. We talked with each of our books. Our first one was a factual one, Care and Prevention of Urinary Problems in Cats. Then she moved on to a novel called Vanished. Her third book was a collection of short stories, Thanks for the Memories. And then the fourth one, The She Team. And number five is out now, The She Team Does Lockdown. I'm delighted that you're here with me today. Susan McGovern, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jerry, and thank you for having me.
Not at all. Delighted to have you. You are, of course, a former school teacher and you turned your hand to writing, among other things, when you finished up in school. Now, you might just explain to listeners who wouldn't be familiar with the first She Team book. It's about cats and a dog, isn't it?
It is. Four cats and a dog. And these are all based on either current or former family pets. So I know these animals. And in the She Team, that book was basically about how they all were rescued from homes that were less than perfect, we'll say. And they were all taken in by a fictional family called the O'Briens. Mm. And the two boys that rescued the animals were called Dermot and Owen. And they are based on two of my grandchildren.
Okay.
So that's what the first book was about. And an important element of the first book was that each of the animals has a superpower. So, for example, Mags the dog, if she puts her paw on her left ear, she can hear what people are saying. She knows, she can understand. Trig the cat, she has a tail that grows and it turns into a sort of a lasso and she can catch things with it. So they all have their own little...
Yes.
Superpower, and that's what helps them to act as the She Team and help other animals.
Yes, yeah. And you know, building on that with this new book now, you incorporate a time, it seems like it's years ago at this stage, but it's quite recent, when the pandemic arrived on these shores.
That's correct.
Yeah. And, you know, you incorporate this, bring this into the book, because it, of course it says in the title, the She Team does lockdown. It was a tough time for everybody, that goes without saying. And was that the premise? Is that what you wanted to reflect in this new story?
Well, yes, but I do actually have to be honest. It wasn't originally my idea.
Okay.
I had started the book. I had three chapters of it done. And my sister says to me, "Are you putting anything in it about the lockdown?" And I says, "Well, you know, I hadn't thought of that." And I did think of it then. And I decided to have it based around the lockdown. And the whole thing about the animals helping the humans during the lockdown, because, as you say, Gerry, it was a difficult time for everybody. Mm. And the animals were all very grateful that they had been taken in from their other previous places.
Yes.
And they wanted to sort of pay back. So
yeah, and I love the various themes you have running through the new book. You have a furtive imagination, can I say that?
Oh yes, Gerry, I'll accept that definitely.
But just picking out aspects of it for listeners today. When the virus came, sure, none of us knew what the virus was.
No.
We'd never seen anything like this before in our lives, and we never expected that the world and the country would have to shut down for such a long time as well. The interesting thing here is, your animals in this book and early on in the book, when this arrives, they're uncertain. They don't know what it means. And they're worried that animals could be, the finger could be pointed at them as transmitters of the disease.
Yes, yes. They're good animals.
Yes,
you know,
they
want to do the right thing. So they didn't want to do anything that would cause harm.
Yes.
But also then, as I said, they wanted to help the human family.
The family that they live with.
Yes,
And you know, the other thing is, and this comes through from the human point of view and the animal point of view, because the animals were used to the children going to school, the mum and dad working, etc. And suddenly everybody's at home. Mm. And you capture that novelty element, which it was for a lot of us early on. You know what I'm saying?
Early on. It soon wore off.
It certainly did soon wear off. That is a fact for sure. Yeah. But I'm delighted the way you brought that out in the book as well. Now, the animals were concerned, as you said, for the human beings. And this is quite apparent in the book. They put on a show for the family.
They did, yes. They saw that the mammy and the daddy, they're always called the mammy and the daddy in the book, right? That they were under a lot of pressure and they were up in the office, which was one of the bedrooms, and they were trying to work and the boys were getting a bit fed up with things and they were falling out with each other and all the rest. So they had a little meeting and they decided that if they put on a little show, it would distract the boys for a while and it would allow the mammy and daddy get on with their work. So they each basically used whatever superpower they had and they did various different things. So there's a little cat called Ebby who unfortunately passed away while I was writing this book, but she was a great little cat. But in the book she was a great cat as well. She had deformed, in reality she had deformed paws, but the claws were very strong because they were all forged together. So in the book she was able to do strange things like wheel a little wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. She could also type and she could send emails. Very useful for the She Team.
What clever animals, what clever creatures. as they are. But as you say, you're familiar with them because they've been part of your family. I loved where, was it the dog ran an errand to the pharmacy when people couldn't go
That's
out?
Right.
The children
That's right.
sent the dog to get a medicine.
No, the children didn't actually send
the
dog. The dog decided herself that she would go and do this. Mags has a superpower that's not very visible and the humans couldn't see it. I mentioned if she puts her left paw up to her ear, she can hear. Also, if she presses in harder, she can actually communicate with animals that way. And she was doing all sorts of things throughout the book, but nobody could see that she was doing them because they didn't understand that she had this superpower. So she decided she was actually on the lookout for something she could do that she would sort of get a bit of credit for.
Right.
So she decided when they ran short of gripe water for the baby.
Yes.
Yeah, that between her and the little cat, Ebby, they worked out a plan and they got a bum bag, one of the boys' bum bags around her neck. They got the credit card. They knew where it was kept. and Ebby typed a little note saying to give the gripe water.
Yes.
So in this case, Mags was delighted. She got lots of praise when they eventually figured out it was her that brought
that
it back.
It. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Again, a train of thought that is so different and so interesting. The baby you mentioned there, was it the baby got locked in the car?
Yes, it was the baby. The baby is Aina, who is the youngest of my three grandchildren.
Okay.
Now, Aina is actually four now, but when I started writing the book, he was a baby. So, yes, he got locked in the car and had to come up with various ways of getting him out. And when that happened, the mammy and daddy, I think, saw for the first time that the animals were doing something very unusual.
Yes.
And the mammy in particular saw that Mags had a big part to play in all this. And she hugged the living daylights out of him. out of her. Sorry, they are all she. By the way, I forgot to say for those who haven't heard of the she team, that the five animals are all females.
Yes,
and that's where the name came
they
from.
They are. Yes. And that is important to say as well. Yeah. But it did demonstrate a superpower. You know, you have a way, may I say, you have a way of creating and writing and bringing the story to life as well. And I say it again, you know, to put this story together in the way you have, it shows a real talent. I really mean that. And it's a lovely story. What would you say age-wise, around six and over,
now,
would you?
I would say 6 to 11. Now, it's on a couple of websites and some of them say 9 to 11. So if the child is going to read it all themselves, they would probably want to be 8 or 9. But from 6 on, they could have an attempt at it and there could be a parent maybe helping them with it. I was actually reading this book with my two older grandchildren the other day and they were doing the reading and I just had to prompt them on an odd word.
Yes.
So
good readers at the age of 6 or that. You know what I mean? That are maybe a little quicker on the take up of the reading. Yes, from that age
from
on.
From that age onwards,
you would say.
Yes.
Did they enjoy it or is that a stupid question?
They did enjoy it. And somebody else asked me this, like, you know, were they really taken up with the animals in it?
Yeah.
And I had to answer honestly, they were more concerned with the fact that they were in it. And when we were reading the book together the other day, they were pointing, oh, there's Dermot. They were looking at the print and there's Owen. And
yes. But that's lovely that they recognise in the book themselves as well. You had a wonderful launch recently, hadn't you?
Yeah, it went very well.
A lovely evening.
Yeah,
it was really well attended by people. And I ain't surprised people spoke so well about you and what you have created here. You've covered different genres, you know, from factual to novel to short stories to this now. Is there another episode, do you feel, of
there
the sheep?
There is,
theme?
Actually. The third in, we'll call it the trilogy, is actually half written.
Good on you.
And it's called The She Team Plus One. Because there's another new little member in our family called Smokey the cat. And she's different from all the others in that she's greyish, smoky colour.
Yeah.
So it's sort of bringing her into it as well.
May I say as well, you know, the importance of dogs and cats to people as well. And, you know, there are many listeners today who just absolutely adore them. And obviously you see within them the different characters they are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, some people say, you know, well, animals are animals. That's it. You know, but they have such personalities. Like it's and, you know, as I said, in this book, obviously, our own animals don't have superpowers. Well, I haven't discovered them yet anyway, if they have. But the superpowers are all built on traits that the animals have and characteristics that the animals have.
Yes.
So they are really true to life, the two books.
Mm.
And again, the children in it, I know them fairly well too.
Of course
so.
You do. Of course you do. But it is very true in that when you live with them, and like the previous book, as you mentioned, they're all rescued from different situations as well, and they're given a new, happier life,
yeah,
you know, with in a new environment as well. And that's a really important thing to emphasise as well. You know, we have a lot of cruelty when it comes to animals today and mistreatment.
Indeed. You know, and, you know, I would encourage people to take in, to rescue animals.
Yes.
I know we actually never went looking for any of our animals. They found us in each case. But we took them in and we looked after them. But I think it's great to take in rescue animals because they'll always love you. They'll love the bones of you forever and ever and ever, you know. Mm. And our animals love us. And they're very affectionate. I think cats get a bad name. A lot of people don't like cats, but cats are actually very affectionate.
Mm.
You know, we shouldn't always just think that the prototype of an animal is correct. They're individual, and cats are definitely affectionate, and not affectionate in the same way as a dog. They don't jump up and down and wag their tails and that sort of thing, but they'll sit on your lap and they'll wrap themselves around your legs, and you know, and they're great company. I think going back to lockdown, I think a lot of people would have gone mad only for their animals during lockdown.
And as I said to you today, there are so many people who would be very lonely but for a cat or a dog.
That's
or
it,
an animal in the life.
Yeah.
And you understand that. And what's brilliant about it is you've done the rescuing and now you've brought them to the pages of now the second book in this series. Look, I really enjoyed it. It's available where? Tell them where the book can be got.
It's available in Roe River Books in Dundalk, in Academy Books in Drogheda, and then on a number of websites. It's on my own website, susanmcgovern.ie, buythebook.ie, and it's also available as a book and also as electronic form. I've forgotten the word.
Yes, yes.
An ebook on amazon.co.uk.
Okay, so it's available in lots and lots of places. Yeah. Look, it's great to see you. Good luck with the book. Can't wait for the next one. The She Team Does Lockdown by Susan McGovern. It's been great meeting you again today on the show. Thanks for dropping in, Susan.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Now, a little later than usual, let's do this on Late Lunch.
Knock, knock. Who's there? That's how it works. It's called
comedy.
Comedy.
Comedy, comedy.
Comedy, sir.
Comedy.
Comedy.
Classic comedy. Comedy.
Classic comedy.
On the Late Lunch.
I love comedy.
This is a cracker. Listen carefully. It's our own Jarlett Regan, and he's talking about a famous Irish hotel.
This particular hotel in Clonakilty, the Emmett Hotel. Back in 2007, that place used to put the keys on the counter. It was like, take your pick. All the rooms are as bad as each other, lads. First come, first served. This is what I love about the hotel. Among the many things I love about it is they lock the front door at midnight and leave the key under the mat. It's the most Irish, beautiful thing. I had an incident there, though, in 2007 where there was only one key left on the counter and I was late for the show. I put my hand on it and a woman appeared. She put her hand on it. And she goes, I'll show you to the room. No, you don't need to do that. I know where it is. She goes, no, I'll give you the tour of the room. In my head, I was thinking, that is going to be the world's shittest tour. That is not going to go. Like, there's nothing to show. There's literally nothing to show. There's two single beds, a telly on an arm, a kettle, a bathroom that you can see if you close the door. I was like, that's not necessary. She goes, no, I insist. She leans around. She goes, Norma, Norma. Norma appears in the door. What? She goes, I'm going to give her the tour of the room. And I can see on Norma's face, the fuck would you do that for? It's all over her face. That's going to be the world's shittest tour. She's already through the thing. She's through the thing going up the stairs. And I can see her take the first step on the stairs. And it's like in that moment she figured out, oh, shit, there's nothing to show. We get up there and we're both sweating by the time we're in the door. She unlocks it. She's standing in the room. I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. She's like, there's a kettle there with the tea and no, there's just tea. There's just tea there. You've got the television on the adjustable arm. It's got all three of the channels. The bathroom there. If you close the door, close the door, close the door, close the door. You can see the bathroom through there. I'm not messing. I'm not messing. This is the next thing she said. There's two single beds. You can sleep in whichever one you like. Oh my God. Sometimes jokes just fall into your lap. I was like, thank you so much. I went to the table. I scribbled it down as quick as I could. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to tell everybody at DeBarra's about this tonight. Holy shit, this is so great. Got to DeBarra's, opened the show with the story. Opened the show with the story, straight into it. Everybody knows the Emmett. It's perfect. Going back to the hotel, take the key out from under the mat, unlock the whole hotel. Go to walk up the stairs and I see the light on in my room. Like, what the fuck is going on now? I was like, oh shit. Word has got back. I honestly didn't know what to expect when I unlocked the door. Everything is exactly as it was, except there's a post-it note on one of the beds. It said, sleep in this bed. I was like, never change Cork.
Oh, what a brilliant, brilliant piece of comedy, Louise.
Yeah.
And observation as well. Well done, Charlotte. The radios keep coming to us. Honest to God, it's unbelievable. Jerry, I'm listening to the afternoon show Late Lunch. You asked to send in a photo of the radio. This has come in by email. It's a Hitachi, over 44 years old, and it comes in from Bernadette McGuinness, who's just living near Dooleague. Thank you, Bernadette. Oh my God, 44 years. And a little tape deck in the middle of it, Louise,
yes,
as well.
It's gorgeous,
look at that one there. There's a beaut. You see that Irene Hoy's radio? Mm. Oh my God, look at that.
That looks really old.
It's fantastic. It really, really is. Paul and Monaster Boys, look at hers. An ancient radio and a modern one as well. Two types of radio so far in my life, says Paul in Monaster Boys.
And hers is very similar to Irene's.
Very similar to
Actually,
Irene's.
Actually, could be the same.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It might be difficult enough to distinguish, to be honest with you. It really is. Wow. Oh, they are fantastic. You're wonderful, folks. We'll tell you who's going to get the radio from our Eamon after three on the show. That is for sure. And of course, we have David Cheaton with Sport and our Artist of the Week. Go on. You're breathless again.
No, yeah, I'm just kind of zoomed in on those two radios. And like, you know, there's... You can tune on Budapest and Helsinki and Lyon.
Oh, listen, we'll have to come back to this. It's been overwhelming today. It really has. And it's amazing, the radios you're listening to us on. It's incredible. It really, really is. Thank you so much to everybody who took pics of your radios and sent them in to us today. It's been overwhelming, I have to say. And we mentioned as many as we could. We are just inundated. And it's wonderful to understand how many you love your radios and listen away to them still. No matter where you are or what, the radio is fantastic. It really is. And if you're listening on your smart speaker online today, it's great to have you with us too. It's so important. Every way we get to you is important to us. But radios today have certainly dominated our airwaves. And we put your names into the hat and we spun it round and we went in and we went out and all round. And winning the radio prize from Eamon today on LMFM's Late Lunch is Mary Kate Kellett. Well done to you. We'll be in touch to make the arrangements. There's another radio on its way to you, Mary Kate. Congratulations to you. But thanks again to everybody. Now let's reprise our TV theme. brilliant. Yes, Louise, you hardly remember that one, do you?
No, I don't. No, but it's the best theme ever.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think we should play it every week.
That is the theme from Captain Pugwash. Yes, a controversy surrounded that show in latter years about the language and the names of the characters in it. But anyway, that is the theme of Captain Pugwash. Thank you to everybody who got it. And quite a number did, which surprises me. Anyway, our prize today on Late Lunch goes to Mary Clark. Well done to you, Mary. We have a lovely little gift we'll be sending out to you as we speak. But thanks to everybody again who got in touch. Captain Pugwash. Yes, yeah, a lovely little tune for sure. Now, let's roll this, Louise.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
It's been UB40 all week, selected by our Louise, and I finished today by with the song that I regard as my favourite of all. Now, they've had great hits, but I absolutely love this one. It was first recorded in 1970 by Lord Creator, but the big hit came in 1989 when UB40 recorded it and included it in their album Labour of Love 2, and it rose to number 4 in the UK singles charts in April 1990, where it stayed for 3 weeks at number 4. Big, big hit for the boys from UB40. Yes, on Late Lunch this afternoon, my final song of the week from them is Kingston Town. Of the week, UB40 and Kingston Town on your Late Lunch. Final break of the day and the week on the way, and afterwards we'll have a quick look at the weekend in sport with David Sheehan. David Sheehan standing by. Quick run through the weekend sporting action, starting this evening with the League of Ireland. Afternoon again, David.
Afternoon, Sherry.
Let's begin at Weavers Park, where I take it you are this evening. Drogheda United taking on Derry City. They lost in Derry the first game of the season. You know, probably a little bit unlucky, missed a penalty. If they don't start winning games soon, Drogheda are in big trouble.
Yeah, they need to start winning. Like, the thing about it is they've been playing really well. And like I was looking at the table earlier on, they've drawn more games than anyone else. They've drawn 4 matches out of their games played so far. So, you know, they've left points behind them in games where they should have won. Last Friday night was a good example against Shelburne, the league leaders. And they conceded that 94th minute equaliser before all the hassle kicked off at the end of the match. But they have been playing really well, but they haven't been picking up wins. As you said, they've only got 1 win so far this season against Bohemians at home. And, you know, Kevin Doherty, I remember speaking to him last year when they went through a similar run, and he was making the point that we're not winning. We're playing well, but we're not winning. He says, we're going to go out and we're going to play badly in matches and we're going to lose. So when we are playing well, we need to start picking up points. They've struggled a little bit for goals. They got 2 last week. We know the second was a big deflection off Evan Weir's free kick. First one was a really well-worked goal. Oisin Gallagher, who's been really impressive, being on loan from Lincoln, finished it beautifully into the bottom corner. They need to start seeing a bit of a return from their strikers. They started Ryan Brennan up front last week and left Bawa and Piero on the bench and actually brought on Killian Kaios ahead of those 2 players who didn't get on at all. So they have a little bit of a problem up top. You know, defensively, I think they look pretty solid. The midfield looks good, but they're missing the goals that they got, say, from Freddie Draper last year. And even in the second half of last season, Kyle Robinson, who came in and contributed. So I wouldn't be too worried about them just yet because I think they are playing really well. But a couple of things, they're not scoring as many as they probably should be to win those games. Plus, a few players are on loan who will go back in the summer. So you want to be making kind of hay while you have those lads in the squad in the first half of the season. So But, you know, Derry City here tonight, second in the table, but they haven't won away from home this season yet. They've had three draws. They lost their other game away. So their form on the road isn't great. And games between these two sides in the last few years have been really tight. So, again, I'd fancy Drogheda to come away with at least a point and maybe get that elusive win. But as you said, Jerry, second from bottom at the moment. We know where Dundalk are, but Drogheda do need to start picking up points and just move themselves up the table a little bit.
It's AOD in Dundalk tonight, not AD. After O'Donnell, he's gone. Are Dundalk going to get the bounce?
I don't know. I really don't know, Jerry. It's really hard to say because they've been so poor. They've been so poor this season so far. And, you know, I kind of wonder, and I really do feel sorry for Stephen O'Donnell, given he's a legend in Dundalk, but I wonder if he didn't have the status that he has, would he have been gone before he went earlier this week? Because they've been on such a bad run. The Sligo hammering earlier in the season, even go back to last year, that FAI Cup defeat against Galway when, you know, they were beaten off the pitch 4-0 or whatever it was in that one. So they've been kind of limping along for a little while. A lot of the new signings haven't really kind of hit the ground running yet. It looks a little bit, and it's hard to know whether it's the coaching or the way they're setting up or if it's the players aren't up to it. Again, they brought a lot of players in late in the day before the season started. So I think, you know, Dundalk need to figure out what their best 11 is quickly, and they need to start playing with a settled team. They're chopping and changing every single week. Players are being left out of the squad because we're told they're injured. There's some question marks about whether that's the case or whether they're just deemed not to be good enough. So back at home tonight, St. Patrick's Athletic, who, of course, if Stephen O'Donnell was there, there'd be an extra edge to that game, given his history with that club. But St. Pat's themselves haven't been, you know, in great form either. They were lucky enough to get away from. They were lucky enough to come away from Drogheda with a point a couple of weeks ago. They picked up a couple of wins since then. They're moving up a little bit, but they're not, you know, they're not bulletproof by any means. But I think Dundalk supporters will just want to see a real kind of up and at 'em, rip roaring performance tonight. And if they can get the win, great. But again, like Drogheda, they're struggling for goals. Although even more so, I think they've only scored twice all season. So they really need to start finding goals from somewhere. You'd have to put the smart money on St. Pat's to win tonight, but it'll be interesting to see, first of all, what 11 is picked by Dundalk, and second of all, what sort of performance they put in. So I think Pat's will get the win, but I think the performance from Dundalk at this point anyway will be key, albeit they do need to start getting points on the board very quickly.
Premier League, let's move on. Just in a word on each, and I'm not going to dwell on them. Man City, the top three. Man City played Luton. Home win, surely.
Yeah, a comprehensive one probably.
Liverpool got a good kick in the arse last night. No quadruple for Liverpool this year. Well, they have the Egg Cup anyway, so they have a bit of silverware. Liverpool Palace.
Try not to sound so happy about that. Liverpool Palace, yeah. I mean, Palace, you know, they're probably not going to be dragged into a relegation battle, but they're not safe by any means yet. But you'd have to fancy Liverpool to win that one at home, yeah.
And then the big question mark. Arsenal at home to Villa. Emery, the former manager of Villa, beat them earlier in the year. What do you think?
Yeah, Villa not in great form at the minute. They've only won one of their last five matches and they've slipped outside of that top four. This is like obviously enough. It's an obvious thing to say. This is going to be, you'd imagine, the tightest game involving the top three. Yeah, I think Arsenal just about, but I think it'll be difficult for them. I think they'll just about get the win, though.
And keep it moving along nicely. Now, let's switch to GAA quickly before we finish. Louth and Meath in action this weekend in the Leinster Senior Football Championship. Louth play Wexford on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Wexford a massive win in their first game against Carlow. Still, you'd have to fancy the wee county, would you?
You would have to fancy them, yeah. I mean, I saw a piece in the paper a week or two ago by Eamon Fitzmaurice, you know, making the case for Westmeath being the second best team in Leinster, and I'd say Louth raised an eyebrow when they read that, and then we saw what happened to Westmeath last week, so he kind of put the kibosh on them there. Yeah, Wexford, a great win last week, and as well as people may well know, Wexford only missed out on a Division 4 final and promotion to Division 3 by dint of a very controversial penalty given against them late on in their game against Leitrim, so they would have been up other than that. So they're going well. They had a really big win last week, as you said. 4-19 is a serious score to put up. You'd fancy Louth to win this one. The one thing I will say, well, a couple of little things. This will be the third of three games to be played in Port Laoise this weekend. There's a game between Laoise and Offaly on Saturday evening, and then the curtain raiser on Sunday is Kildare against Wicklow. Don't be surprised if Wicklow spring a surprise there, by the way. And then Louth taking on Wexford. So that pitch, and given the conditions we've had, is going to see a lot of traffic, and it's quite surprising there's three games being played there this weekend, given the weather we've had. But I think Wexford will certainly put it up to Louth, and their tails will be up, the confidence will be high. But I think Louth have moved on now from that position they were in a few years ago, where if they went into a game as favourites, they were nearly, you know, they were nearly carrying that kind of heavily. I think they've got a bit of confidence. They had a pretty decent National League. They should have picked up more points than they did, and I think they'll be okay against Wexford yet.
your own Meath play a county called Dublin. And there's a bit about this Dublin team, you'd have to say. It's a big ask for Meath, isn't it?
Ah, huge. Look, Sherry, I feel like we've been having this conversation for 6, 7, 8 years now when Meath play Dublin, because, and anyone plays them, but certainly Meath, obviously, haven't beaten them since 2010. Dublin, whatever it is now, however, was it 14 in a row or something now at this stage in Leinster? So I think, look, at every year we talk about Meath and Dublin when they meet now, it's like Meath supporters just want to see something to cling on to. They want to see a bit of fight. They want to see a bit of the old style. If an old row breaks out, sure, what harm, you know, you want to see a little bit of that, a little bit of, because they've been so passive in the years gone by, with the exception of whatever was it, 2021, when they really gave it a good rattle and they lost by 6, I think, in the end. But, you know, then they met a couple of years back and Dublin, you know, hammered them again. So it's a very, very young Meath team. It's going to be a huge step up in levels for them from Division 2 and from the likes of last week against Longford. So look, you know, even the proudest, the most diehard Meath supporter couldn't tip a Meath win. Dublin are going to win this one, I would say fairly confidently, but I just hope that Meath team can put in a performance, and it's not a complete blowout, but it's going to be a massive challenge for them. There's no doubt about
that. It certainly is. We wish Louth Hurlers well against Roscommon in the Rackard Cup, and who'll win the Masters? Who knows? Scotty Scheffler. Anyone. They're all against Scotty Scheffler, I think. David, have to leave it there for today. Good luck this evening, and good luck to Dundalk and Drogheda in the League of Ireland tonight. Talk to you again next Friday. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Jerry.
Take care of yourself. That's our David Sheehan there. That's it for another week on Late Lunch. Thanks to you, our listeners, who join us every day. We love your company. Thanks to all our guests who've been in this week. And a big thanks, of course, to my producer, Louise Walsh. Couldn't do it without her. Eddie Caffrey's coming next with The Drive here on LMFM Radio. Have a nice weekend, and we'll be back with a brand new week of Late Lunch, Monday, 1:30. It's a date. See you then.